Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you, if not, grab it. Open up to Joshua chapter 24 in the Old Testament. And I want to speak to you under the title this morning, Defining Moments. And this is actually, believe it or not, our eighth weekend of online church together. And looking back to my notes on our very first weekend together doing online service, I shared some words that people had spoken to me about the time that we were in and describing some of the strangeness of what we were facing and just stepping into at that time. I mean, people told me it was crazy. It was unnerving. Someone said it was unprecedented. And I think at this point, with where we're at in this process, we could probably add some words to that list like frustrating, lonely, confusing. One parent from CCC posted on Facebook just a couple weeks ago that they caught their little boy outside going potty on their tree. And I don't know if that's a result of being quarantined for too long. I'm not for sure. But there was another parent who talked to me just this week and said that, with their kids not being able to go and spend time with other kids, they looked and they saw their little girl hugging a tree. And I'm like, man, we got problems. We got to get together and gather together at some point in the near future. And my hope is just that little girl didn't hug the potty tree, okay? Because that would probably not be good. And although the time that we're in right now is challenging and it's strange, I want to point out that these are moments. This is a space and time that we have that we're never going to get back. And what if these moments that we are in right now, what if they are actually defining moments for you? What if these are defining moments for your family? And defining moments are basically those pivotal actions and those pivotal decisions that we make that in reality shape and affect our future. And defining moments can either be seized or they can be squandered. And in the Bible, we read example after example of some men and women who unfortunately squandered their defining moment. Some gave in to temptation. Some fled when they should have fought. Some fought when they should have forgiven. But I'm so glad that in our scriptures, we also have example after example of people who seized their defining moments. And I want to share about one of those this morning. It's found in Joshua chapter 24. And specifically in verse 15, we read a powerful statement made by Joshua, who was the leader of the Israelites at that time. And this is what he said in Joshua 24, verse 15. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And I think it's important for us to point out what took place before Joshua's leadership and even what took place after Joshua's leadership. Before, we know that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Why? Well, God had delivered them from the slave life in Egypt, and then they, instead of being so thankful and humble before the Lord for what he had done for them, they kind of took the opposite approach. They grumbled about the food selection. They were upset with their leader style of leadership, and they basically developed a really hard heart, an unbelieving heart toward God for 40 years. That was before, okay. Now, after Joshua's leadership, we see this taking place where people began to just do whatever they wanted to do. Whatever they felt like doing, that's what they did. The scripture says that everyone did as they saw fit. And in Judges chapter 2, we read this. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, talking about Joshua's generation, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. And then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. What was bad before Joshua's time and Joshua's leadership got even worse after. But the reality is that Joshua could not change the past, and he could not control the future. but he could significantly affect what happened in that moment that he was giving, what we would call today his defining moment. Likewise, we can't control what happened before COVID-19. We can't change that. And in the same way, we can't control what happens after we get through this stage of life that we're in right now. But we do have the opportunity, every single one of us, to significantly alter the trajectory of our future. We have the opportunity to seize these defining moments and to treat them as defining moments and make pivotal decisions and take pivotal action toward what God would have for us moving forward. This was a significant moment for Joshua. There was a lot of pressure from society on Joshua, but yet he stood his ground and he drew a line in the sand and said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." It was his defining moment. And what he stated on that day was way more than, a catchy phrase that became a wall art in someone's living room. I mean, this was a really, really big deal. He was saying, "I'm going to serve God with everything that's within me." And I don't know what my cousins and my coworkers are doing. It doesn't matter what my neighbors are doing. As for me and my family, this is what we're going to do. We're going to serve God. We're going to live for God. We're going to move toward God. This word serve in the Old Testament brings out a lot of meaning. It brings out the meaning of surrender. It brings out the meaning of deep commitment. And it even has the connotation of worship, of true worship of the one true God. And Joshua was saying, "Look, no matter what else happens around me, I'm going to keep my eyes focused on God." And I don't know about every other family, but for my family, for us, we are going to serve the Lord. Here's my question for you as we gather together today. Who in your house is saying, "As for me in this house, we're going to serve the Lord"? Now, I know that each of us live in different homes and we have different situations. There are some who live by themselves. There are some who are married. There are some who are raising kids either by yourself or with your spouse. We have different living situations. But the reality is that each one of us still have responsibility. And if I could say something in addition to that, I believe without a doubt as I read the scriptures that God has given each of us special, unique, God-given roles in the home. But regardless of that, each of us still have a responsibility. A responsibility to be the one that stands up and says, "As for me, and as much as I can affect my family, we are going to serve the Lord." Who's saying, today, on this day, "I want to make a statement, as for me and my house, we are going to serve Jesus. We're going to run towards Jesus. We're going to love Jesus. We're going to do the right thing for Jesus." Today in this message, I believe that we have the opportunity to be challenged, to seize these moments, this unique time that we are in, and to treat them as defining moments so that we can make Christ-honoring choices and maybe have a marriage or family refocus, maybe have a life priority reassessment. I believe this is an opportunity for us during these interesting, unique, challenging times that we're in right now to seize them and to see, like, okay, I can't change the past. I can't control the future, but I have these moments right here that could define, that could give definition to how I'm going to live my life, that could alter even my future. And so what I want to do today is just to challenge you with 10 ways to make these moments defining moments. And I've been praying that there would be one or two or three of these that you could latch onto, and that as you go through today and the next day and the next day, you could process through, you could think through, and maybe there are one or two the Lord would just really put on your heart that is like your marching orders over the next couple days. And so here we go. 10 ways to make these moments defining moments. Here's the first one. Ask God for help. Ask God for help. We see this reoccurring theme throughout Scripture, and I hope that you've experienced this in your life, and it's this. We cry out to God, and God responds. Out of his graciousness and his mercy, he responds. Psalm chapter 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry, and he lifted me out of the mud and the mire and the slimy pit. He set me on solid rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to my God. It starts here. God, help me. God, would you help me as I'm walking through these times to keep my eyes focused on you? God, would you help me not to miss anything that you're trying to teach me? Ask God for help so that these moments will become defining moments for you and even for your family. The second one is this. Take a courageous step. Take a courageous step. One time, Lacey and I were in Florida, and we had heard that on this particular beach that we were sitting on, that at times there were manatees that would come through the water, and you could kind of see the mass out there. And I didn't know a whole lot about manatees, but I was like, that sounds really cool. It sounds like a kid toy, a manatee. And, you know, it's like, wow, that'd be so cute. And so we were sitting on the beach one of these days, and there was this big mass that started, it was floating out in the water, like, you know, good ways out there, but it was just coming across real slow. And I'm like, this is my moment. And so I jump up from my beach chair and just run like a little kid into the water, splashing everywhere. I'm like, I'm trying to get as close as I can to this manatee. Now, manatees weigh in at around 900 pounds. And so if you've never seen a manatee, they are basically a really big sea cow. And so I'm splashing, going through the water, and it's getting deeper and deeper. I'm going out there, and it's probably about chest deep, and I'm looking out over here, and I see this thing going across. This is my moment to get close to a manatee. And then all of a sudden, the manatee changed direction and started coming toward me. And, okay, you have to understand something. Manatees top out underwater at 19 miles per hour. I'm more like topping out at 0.05 miles per hour when I'm in water. And I see that thing coming toward me, and at first I was so courageous. I'm like, this is my moment. I'm like going to impress Lacey and all these people on the beach. And in that moment, all of that courage just left. Boom, gone. And I turned tail and ran as fast as I could. And it was basically like this fast because I was in water. Like, and I was going as fast as I could, splashing, and I'm trying to, like, you know, save face a little bit for the people on the beach, but I'm telling you what, let me just be honest, I was scared out of my mind, all right? And I'm sharing this embarrassing moment with you to make a point that there are things that cause us to turn tail and run. There are things that bring up fear in us. For some of us, maybe it's praying out loud. Maybe it's taking that step at family dinner to share a scripture. Maybe it's that taking a step to turn the TV off because we're not going to watch that. Maybe it's admitting that you did something wrong, and there could be different things that can kind of cause fear to come up in us, and we want to turn tail and run. And I want to challenge you. In order for these moments to become defining moments, I believe that we need to take a courageous step into that arena that maybe once was challenging or difficult. That's exactly what Joshua did. As we read about him and the step that he took on that day when he drew the line in the sand, I mean, it was courageous, not just in front of his family, but we're talking in front of the leaders and the people of the Israelite nation. Look what he said in verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This was a courageous step for Joshua. Don't think that was easy, to stand up in front of all these people and say, basically, you're not doing right. There's some things that need to change in your life. You need to serve God. See, courage is saying and doing the right thing, even when it's not the easy thing. And I want to challenge you today, tomorrow, and the next day to take a courageous step out of your comfort zone into an arena that maybe you were hesitant to go into before. Maybe it's taking a bold step. It's being the one who does the right thing. It's being the one who says the right thing. Being the one who tries to bring reconciliation in the home. Being the one who is willing to take the lead in sharing a scripture, in worshiping together, or whatever it might be. Number three, ways to make these moments defining moments is be inspired, not condemned, by others' example. That's really important. It's so easy for us to hear of what another family is doing and what another individual is doing for God and in their growth in the Lord and be like, oh, I'm such a loser. I'm not there. I'm not doing that. Now, I encourage you, be inspired by others' example. Don't be condemned by it. And just a few days ago, I posted on Facebook a question, and it was this: what are some things that you're doing to grow spiritually during this time that we're in? And there were a number of people from the church that responded. I'm going to read a few of these. One said, we are sharing what God is saying to us individually out of His Word. One said that we're having worship music play frequently. One said we're having family meetings every morning and evening. We're checking in and seeing if we're at a good place mentally and spiritually and making sure that we're where we need to be. One said we're reading a chapter from the Bible every day. And then there was a woman who said, I've been praying over my husband daily. I love it. Don't be condemned by those examples. Don't be like, oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing enough. What's my problem? No. Be inspired by some of the things that others are doing. May their stories build faith in you and to share with you like what's possible and how you can maybe take those ideas and move forward even this week in your walk with the Lord. Number four, push yourself to engage. Push yourself to engage. I don't believe this is the time to scale back in our relationship with the Lord. I don't think it's a time to just sit down and like, okay, we'll re-engage. Once we get all back together, then I'll really worship God. Then I'll really get serious about God. No, push yourself to engage. And I have to admit that there have been some moments in our time of bringing up our kids where I've missed the boat. I've dropped the ball. You know, there are times when I was just tired. I didn't feel like talking in that serious conversation. I didn't feel like confronting this. You know, there are times when I just didn't feel like praying again. And it sounds so bad to say, but there are times I was just tired. And the Lord hit me with a challenging thought this week, and it was this. In all the years of our kids going to school, I have never one time, and Lacey has never one time told our kids, I know it's time for school, but Mom and Dad are just tired. You know, we've had a long day, the day before, got a lot to do today. We're just tired. We don't feel like taking you to school today. You're on your own. And don't forget to take your booster chair if you're going to drive yourself to school, okay? We never did that. We always made sure they were in school. We made sure they were in practice. We went to their games as much as we could. I never told my kid, you know, son, I'm just so tired. I don't think I'm going to make it to your game today. I mean, there are times when I had to miss his games for different things, but it was never because I was just too tired. Do you get the point? The Lord hit me with that challenging thought of like, hey, I don't tell my kids, oh, I'm too tired to do this. So I can't use that as an excuse to not stand up, to not step up, to not seize the moment that I need in order to help lead and help to point the people that are around me to the Lord. Push yourself to engage in God's Word. Push yourself to engage in those conversations. Come on, let's be honest. You're not watching the NBA playoffs, all right? It's not on. You got time. Let's push ourselves to engage with those that are around us and pointing them to the Lord. Number five, focus on direction, not perfection. If we're focused on being perfect, we're probably going to be discouraged. Focus on direction. I don't believe that Joshua ever said to his kids, to the nation, look, I'm perfect, I'm an expert, just do what I do. I don't think he ever did that. But he was focused on direction. He was sold out, moving forward in his relationship with the Lord. And here's the thing. If I point my feet in this direction, I'm going to end up over there. If I point my feet in this direction, just one step at a time, one day at a time, moving forward, I'm going to end up where I want to end up. I encourage you, focus on direction. Focus on moving forward in your relationship with the Lord. Focus on taking your family forward in integrity, of taking your family forward and doing the right thing, of putting God first. And if you mess up, if you fail, hey, in God's grace, stand back up and keep going. Keep going in that direction toward the Lord. Number six, create a new normal. I think for a lot of us, whether we're in a home by ourselves or we are in a home with a family, we are kind of trying out some different things. Maybe it's praying together. Maybe it's having devotions together. Maybe it's having family dinner together and just starting it with prayer. It might be having some more conversations. It might be being dialed in more to what's happening in other people's lives that are in our household. But whatever it is, I encourage you to create a new normal. Take something that you're doing now, maybe even write it down, so that that can become more of a normal practice in your life. It's something that's good. It's something that's helped to edify in the home, in your relationship with the Lord. I encourage you, create a new normal. Take that, grab that, and say, you know what, we're going to start doing this more often. Maybe it's taking communion together. I've heard of a number of families that are doing that. Make something. You don't have to do everything, but make something coming out of this time that we've had a new normal in your life, because you're finding that it brings peace and it brings hope, and it helps to even bring those who are in the household together spiritually more in line with what God wants. So that's it. Create a new normal. A couple more for you. How about this? Paint an appealing picture. A way to make these moments defining moments. Paint an appealing picture. And I think this really relates especially to parents. So if your parents, lean in on this one. Because I would guess that most of us have at times told someone about something that we thought was great. You know, it's a certain type of food. It's a restaurant. It's maybe that campsite at that state park. You're like, oh, you've got to go there. The view's amazing. The bathrooms are super clean. You know, whatever it is. Like, you're painting that appealing picture. And sometimes people have painted an appealing picture to you, and it's so appealing that you've checked it out. Like, you're at that restaurant or you're at that state park because one of your friends told you how great it was. You know, that's what Joshua did on that day when he stood before the people. He painted an appealing picture of God's faithfulness. Look at this in verse 11. This is just a snapshot of a little bit about what he was talking about that day. He said to the Israelites, "Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But God gave them into your hands. God sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So God gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them, and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." He was letting them know, look, God has done an amazing job of taking care of you. God is faithful. God is good. I know that Lacey and I have been sharing different moments as our kids have been growing up, some of the things that God has done, some of the things that God has provided. We want to give God praise. We want to give God glory. And we've had some special moments where we've shared some of our moments with the Lord that were just deeper and sacred, and some of the things that God has done to protect us at different times in our lives. We're painting an appealing picture with our words, and I challenge you to also paint an appealing picture with your actions. Live your life in such a way that those who are around you are going to see that Jesus is better. It's better serving Jesus than having all the riches in the world. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? I challenge you to paint an appealing picture during these moments that we have in our homes right now. I pray that what happened on that day in Joshua 24, what happened in your home. It's this. At the end of Joshua speaking about what all God had done, the people in response said to Joshua, "We too will serve the Lord." Is there a greater testimony to a person's life than someone else saying, after watching your life and after hearing about God working in your life, they say, "I too will serve the Lord"? Paint a picture that's so appealing, so compelling, that people are drawn into following Jesus just as you do. Paint an appealing picture. Number 8, explain the why. Explain the why. There are moments in kids' lives and moments in adults' lives that they're wondering why. And this is a great opportunity for us to take moments to explain why we serve God, why we're putting Him first, why we're making these pure choices, these moral choices, why we do this, why we maybe don't do that, why we take time on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night or other times to gather together in our living rooms and gather literally with hundreds of other people in this church, even though we can't see them, we're not rubbing shoulders with them, but still we're together. Why? Why do we at times lift our hands in worship to our God? You see what I'm saying? Explain the why. Help people understand. Help those in your home or those that you're connecting with, help them understand why you are who you are, why you do what you do. You can't change anyone's heart, whether that's a kid or a spouse that doesn't serve the Lord right now. You can't change their heart, but you can explain why your heart's changed. You can explain how God totally met with you, totally loved you, totally wrapped His arms around you. You can explain that. Explain the why. Number 9, show up early. Show up early. We know that in watching a game or being a part of a sport on a team, that there's a warm-up period before the game, right? The coach doesn't want the players to come at 7 o'clock if the game starts at 7 o'clock. No. You come at 6 o'clock and you warm up and you stretch out and you get your mind focused and you get the blood flowing a little bit. And the older we get, the more warm-up period we need. For some of us, it's like 4 days, right? 4 days. Oh, yeah, now let's play the 10-minute croquet game. We're ready to go. Show up early. Show up early. I was really challenged when I lived in Africa, because I was able to see a different culture. I was able to see how people did their times and their gatherings of worship different than the way that we had done. And I saw something that I didn't remember ever seeing growing up. And that was, in church after church that I was blessed to go into, I saw the African believers come into their gathering place, and instead of chatting it up right away or doing whatever at first, the first thing that many of them did would be to come in, and they would sit down on their bench with their Bible, and they would take some moments. I'm not talking 2 seconds. They would take some time. Maybe they'd open up the scriptures. Some of them would even kneel down at the bench, and they would just take time to pray. I mean, service hadn't even started yet. What were they doing? They were warming up. They were preparing their hearts. And I want you to know that we are committed to doing everything that we can in these days that we're having before we're able to start getting back together in groups. We are doing everything we can to pray and to prepare so that what we share is timely, what we share is valuable for you. We want you to be able to connect with the Lord. We want you to be able to worship the Lord with other believers scattered throughout these different communities. But I encourage you, one way to make these services, whether it's Wednesday night or prayer times or Sunday morning, a way to make these moments that we have together defining moments is to show up early. Is to, before you turn that on, is to pray a little bit, is to think a little bit, is to worship a little bit, to get your heart ready. And I know that it's a challenge. Let me say this. If you're watching Netflix, you don't like get prepared 15 minutes before. Like you're coming like, oh, I'm getting ready to binge on some Netflix. And so you're like out there and you're stretching out. And you're trying to get all distractions away. Quiet, you know, push all distractions out of the way. You're trying to get your mind focused on Netflix and what you're getting ready. Okay, nobody does that. And it's easy for us to do that when there's an online service, online gathering, a teaching, whatever it might be. But I'm telling you, this is different. What we're talking about and what we're praying about and who we're worshiping is different than what we're going to see on some other things. I encourage you, show up early. Get your heart prepared so that when these services and these gatherings start, you're ready. You're ready to seek the Lord and receive from Him. Finally, number 10. You thought we'd never get here. We got here. Number 10, here it is. Burn the ships. Burn the ships. Pastor Keith, what in the world are you talking about? Well, in February of 1519, Spanish explorer Hernan Cortes sailed for Mexico with 11 ships and 663 sailors and soldiers. And when they arrived on shore, it didn't take long for them to realize that they were drastically outnumbered by the indigenous population. So what would they do? Well, according to reports, Cortes, their leader, issued a command that became a defining moment for them, and it was this. He said, burn the ships. And as the 663 soldiers and sailors who were with them looked back, they saw that their way back to their former life burned up, smoldering. And it was a statement that Cortes was making to his troops. There is no going back. There is no retreating to the former way that we did life. We are moving forward. We are victory focused. The retreat's not even an option. We are moving forward. And I want to challenge you. In order to make these moments defining moments, consider in your life and let the Lord speak into your life, are there some things that need to be burned up? Are there some old habits? Some old desires? Are there some old ways of doing things, ways of responding to people, whatever it might be, some old ways of communicating to your family, whatever it might be? Are there some things that need to be burned up? Are there some things that need to be left behind as you consider these moments as defining moments? Like, you know what? That doesn't fit. God, purify my heart. God, search my heart. God, do a fresh work in me. God, I want to be more like you. I want to come out of this smelling and looking more like Jesus. Burn the ships. These moments, I believe, are moments for us to draw a line in the sand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it's easy, isn't it so easy for us to point the finger at someone else in our home? Hey, if you're living by yourself, you can't point at anybody else. Even those of us in families, it's easy to point a finger like, well, they need to be saying, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. They need to take the lead. Here's the thing. I believe God has given all of us a responsibility and an opportunity during these moments to make them defining moments and to stand up and say, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord, and as the Lord enables me, I'm going to impact and affect my family, whether I'm a man, a woman, or a teenager, to serve the Lord. One last thought about Joshua's bold declaration in Joshua 24. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want you to notice that Joshua began by saying, as for me. As for me. Before he talked about his home, before he talked about his nation and what they needed to do, as for me. The reality is that God has given invitation to each and every person to come and to follow Him. As for you, what will you do? Joshua had made the decision to surrender his life to God. Have you surrendered your life to God? I know there are many that are a part of this service today that you have. You're moving forward in your relationship with the Lord, and that's awesome. But for those who are watching today and you haven't yet surrendered your life to the Lord, I want you to know that this is why you were born. And God has given you an opportunity even today to place your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to die on the cross for your sins. And he's giving you the opportunity to bow your knee to him in surrender and say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to do a new work in my heart and in my life. I trust in you. By your grace, I want to live for you. In the name of Jesus. You have the opportunity even now to be like Joshua and say, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. After our service today, we're going to post these 10 ways to make these moments defining moments so that even right after the service, maybe as if you live by yourself, you can Zoom call with someone or FaceTime or call someone up and process through and talk through a couple of these, or as a group that are watching this message together in your home, I encourage you to discuss some of these. Maybe there are one or two that really jumped out and hit you in your heart, and you want to think through those and talk through those. I believe that'll be a meaningful time for us in these next few moments. But before we get to that, I just want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for each and every person who's taking part in this service today. I believe that you have a plan for every single one of them. Lord, you have given each of us responsibility, but you've also given us opportunity, Lord, to make these moments defining moments. And as we begin today, we do so again. We ask you for help. We ask you, Lord, by your grace and by your mercy, to enable us to walk in your power and in your might. Help us, Lord, not to miss one thing that you want to do in us. Help us not to miss one blessing that you want to give us. And I pray that you will watch over each and every person, that you will continue to put a perimeter of protection and a perimeter of provision around each home represented today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, amen.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.